to the Sister Speak True Blood podcast, where we discuss everything about the HBO series True Blood from a sister's point of view. I'm Sister J.
And I'm Sister K. And welcome to episode 6. Let's get started.
Okay.
All right. Well, we're back for another week of our podcast. And yep. We're going to be talking about the episode 5, Never Let Me Go.
Okay.
And before we get started, let me just remind everyone how you can reach us. My voicemail is 972-692-7341. Our email address is sisterspeak@gmail.com. And our website is sistersinreview.com. And click on the True Blood link. And you can reach us that way. First, I guess we'll go through the recap of the episode.
Yep.
And then go into what we think about it. Okay, so I'll start. Okay, well, first off, we see Daphne and Sam walking in the woods outside of the party at Sookie's house for Tara. And Sam is trying to, you know, understand from Daphne what she meant by, I know who you are, or what you are. While they're walking in the woods, she starts taking off her clothes. And all of a sudden, she's gone, and there's a little deer there, or a fawn, or whatever you call them.
A doe.
And then she morphs back into human form. Sam is shocked. He's like, what? And then we go into the opening credits. When we come back from the credits, we're back to that scene. And Sam just can't believe what he saw. And Daphne is trying to tell him that she's so happy to have found him. They're no longer alone. They're both shifters. And they kind of get closer and kiss when Arlene and Terry break into the clearing of where they're standing on their way to go have fun, too. Arlene acts like she doesn't really like Daphne. So Daphne decides to just go ahead and leave. And then Arlene and Terry go off and Sam's trying to find her later. So they leave that scene. Later on in the episode, we see Daphne and Arlene arguing at Merlot's during their shift because Daphne is having to hustle and get all of her work done before her shift starts. Arlene already did her prep the night before, and plus she already doesn't like Daphne anyway. So Daphne's trying to get her to help her. Terry comes into the room and Arlene is all smiles. Hi, Terry. He looks like he's kind of flustered, doesn't know what to say. Daphne asks Terry to do some of the work for her. Arlene gets upset by this, and Harry acts like he can't handle it anymore and runs off, and Arlene runs after him. Sam comes in, and him and Daphne talk a little bit about getting together later, but they both seem to like each other a lot. Later in the episode, Lafayette, Arlene, and I think it's actually the same scene. I'm not quite sure.
It is.
Arlene turns around and Lafayette's there. She's like, hey, Lafayette. So Sam and Lafayette go into his office and Sam is real upset and cussing and carrying on about where Lafayette has been. Lafayette's, you know, abnormally subdued and, excuse me, and says, you know what, Sam, all I want to know is if I can get my job back. Sam kind of hems and haws and argues with him a little bit more and then finally says, of course, this place isn't good without you here. It doesn't feel right without you here, so of course you can have your job back. And he says, what's happened to you? And Lafayette doesn't say anything, but just gives him kind of a look, kind of sad. Later in the evening, we'll get into another section with Tara. Excuse me, sorry. Later in the evening, Sam and Daphne are cleaning up and closing Merlot's. And kind of flirting with each other back and forth and talking about their being shifters. And Daphne remarks how she's surprised Sam hasn't ever met anyone like her before or like them before. And he's like, well, you know, I've met a few werewolves, but never a shifter. And she kind of wrinkles her nose up and goes, ugh, like werewolves, ugh. And they kind of get hot and heavy and start kissing. And that's the end of Sam and Daphne for this episode. Going on to, we'll skip that. We'll go on to Jason is sleeping in bed where he gets abruptly woken up by a big bullhorn and this guy and drill sergeant, basically a drill sergeant, yelling at him to get up for the Lord. tells him to put on some sweats and go outside. Excuse me. They get outside, and all of the soldiers of the light are out there, and they're getting them assembled and ready to do their physical training or whatever kind of training they're going to do. Sarah Newland is out there as well with her clipboard and sweats, and she's going to take them all through their paces. Jason's looking for the bathroom, but they're really pushing hard on him to exercise and get ready for whatever trials are going to have for them. The next scene, we see all of the Light of Day Institute soldiers running when one guy falls kind of out of the pack. Jason stops to kind of help him. Luke comes over and really chastises the guy, and so does the drill sergeant, while Sarah looks on. Luke then runs off at top speed, and Jason kind of runs after him, saying, "You better pace yourself." They finally get to another obstacle where they want them to climb this big fence and pretend like their family's on the other side getting killed by vampires. Luke, of course, by this point, has no more energy, and he can't climb the fence. So he's upset. He's crying. The drill sergeant is really getting on him and saying he's weak and that his family would be dead if it was up to him. And looks to Jason next in line to ask him, as a leader, what would you do? Would you leave this guy? What would you do with someone who couldn't make it? Jason kind of looks for a while, and he finally goes up and climbs the fence and reaches down and says, "Luke, come on, let me help you up. You can do it. You can do it. It's just a fence." So he helps look up and over the fence and jumps down. And when he jumps down and stands up, hits his shoulder, says, "Praise the Lord," which was a great, funny moment. after all that, the next scene we see Sarah and Steve Newland are arguing because Sarah doesn't like the fact that Gabe, which was the drill sergeant, knows more about the operation than she does. She keeps telling Steve that they're partners, they're married, and that they should share equally in what's going on with the church and the organization. Steve is dismissing her and telling her, "I don't have time to talk to you about this. This is just the way it is." And he goes on talking to Gabe. And
she also complains about they're going too far.
Yes. When he goes and talks to Gabe, she says, "You know, we're going way too far. This is not necessary." But before she can continue, Jason comes down the stairs and they both kind of stop their conversation. And she gushes on and on about how good Jason was on their physical training. Steve says, "You know what? I've heard all about it, and I think you're ready to go up to the next level." So he goes to take Jason down into the basement. Sarah tries to follow, and he tells Sarah, "Nope, you're not needed. We can handle this." So we see Sarah just standing there looking real forlorn and sad that she's not able to go. So Steve takes Jason down to the basement to this room that he calls R&D, Research and Development, opens the door, and it's a fully stocked arsenal. He's got flamethrowers, he's got knives, he's got, what are those, stars?
And silver arrow stars
and all kinds of stuff. And Jason's just looking around like, wow. And he's saying they can keep coming out, but we can keep finding ways to kill them. So Jason's just looking around in awe. And the last scene that we see with Jason, he's in this huge, nice bathroom, soaking in the tub, when he hears someone walk into the room. We see that it's Sarah Newland. When he realizes who it is, he kind of looks embarrassed and gets a towel and tries to cover himself up. But she comes in and locks the door and comes over to Jason and says, "Let me help you." He's looking all scared and nervous and really doesn't know what to say. So she grabs a little scrubby and starts, you know, kind of washing his chest and arms and stuff with it, telling him a story about Mary Magdalene washing the feet of Jesus and drying it with her hair. And just the way she was talking was just so... Anyway, we'll talk about that when we get to it.
Yeah.
So she's telling Jason, he's telling her to stop. She tries to put her hands underneath the water. He tells her to stop, and she says, "You don't mean it." He says, "No, I don't, but you're married." And She says, well, I think God would like you, after all your trials and tribulations and everything you've been through, God would like you to be rewarded, and let me be the one to reward you. So he goes ahead and lets her, and she starts touching him under the water. And that's basically the end of Jason, the scenes with Jason and Sarah in the Light of Day Institute. Next, we go on to Tara and Eggs. They're in the bed. Tara wakes up and kind of, you know, stretches and looks over and sees the picture with her, Sookie, and Gran as kids. And she starts feeling nostalgic. Eggs wakes up, and Tara's still holding the picture, and she tells him that Gran was the only one to make her feel like she had a home, and it was always welcoming to her, and the only person she had that she knew, you know, it was like family. And Eggs asked her what Gran would think about him, and she said, oh, she would like you because she always could appreciate a good-looking man. And then she thanked Eggs for making this one of the best birthdays she ever had, which we knew it was because of him. And he said, this is just one of many. And so she kind of, you know, snuggles up with him at that point. She goes downstairs later and sees Marianne cooking and cutting up fruit with all this food again and fruit on the table. So she's asking Marianne, did you come back or are you not even left? She's like, well, me and Carl spent the night because we don't, you know, the owner, the owner of the house has come back. And Tara's like, what do you mean? She's like, well, the house that we were living in is not ours. It was one of my clients. Tara was upset. She didn't know anything about it. And Marianne tells her that she just assumed that they would be able to stay in Sookie's house or in this house. Tara gets upset and says, I'm a guest here. I just moved in. There's no way. And Sookie doesn't know anything. There's no way you guys can move in here. Marianne looks crushed and says, okay. And walks out of the room. Later, we see Marianne and Carl pull up outside of Tara's job at Merlot's and sit in the car. Marianne just tells Carl to keep it running. Then she closes her eyes and you hear that little shaky music or sounds kind of like a rattle. And then she looks towards Merlot's. Inside, everybody is kind of chaos. Arlene is arguing with customers about the orders. She goes over and starts arguing with Tara about her beer orders. Daphne and Arlene are fighting. Daphne starts arguing with Tara about her order, too. Then Terry starts fussing at Tara. Then Sam starts fussing at Tara. Then Lafayette comes in and fussing at Tara. And Tara's like, what the hell is going on? All y'all are crazy. And then she starts feeling really bad. Well, obviously, Marianne is changing their emotions around her. So they show back Marianne outside, and she has this little satisfied smile on her face and says, okay, we can go, Carl. And they drive off. Tara returns home and sees Marianne at the kitchen table reading a book with some country clothes on and an apron.
Looking like Gran.
Exactly. Like Gran in the picture, which is probably, of course, on purpose. Mm-hmm. Excuse me. So Tara is like, oh, you waited up for me. And Marianne says, well, actually, I did. She says, I put some of your favorite food in the fridge, and I made you some dinner. And Tara's looking kind of harried, and so Marianne asks her, you had a rough night? And, of course, Tara says, I sure did. And she says, please don't go. I don't want y'all to leave. I want you to stay. I'll call Sookie and let her know. But you guys are family. And so Marianne, of course, is looking very satisfied. Mm-hmm. She goes upstairs to the bedroom, and there's Egg sitting in bed waiting for her, and she goes and crawls up in the bed with him. And that's the end of Tara, Eggs, and Marianne for this episode. I tried to save the best scenes for last. We see Sookie chasing after Barry in Hotel Camilla, and she tries to get him to talk to her about their ability. And Barry is wanting nothing of it. He's upset. He's trying to get away. But, you know, he's worried about what Sookie's going to say. So he kind of stays there to talk to her. They see a man walking by the hallway with vampire puncture wounds. And he's looking dazed. And so Barry kind of shushes Sookie So the guy doesn't overhear them. She's like, oh, it's okay. He's glamour. Can't you tell? He's just nothing. There's nothing in his brain. And so Barry seems to not really understand all that. And so she asks Barry if he gets if he can be glamoured. And he says no, but he fakes it. And then she also asks Barry if he can hear vampire thoughts. And he says no also, and to leave me alone, I don't want to talk about it. And he runs off. So when Sookie gets back to the room, Bill is chastising Jessica for ordering room service and for getting ready to drink from a human. He tells her that she needs to go to her room and drink True Blood. And she gets up and stomps off and yells, you'll be so sorry when I get an eating disorder. Stay out of my room. That was a great line.
That was good.
Sookie doesn't tell Bill anything about Barry or what she was doing. She just tells him she was looking for something in the candy machine. So they start talking about Bill starts talking to her about not leaving the room without him and that it's dangerous, especially now that they know that people are after her and that she can't be too careful. And he's just going on and on and on. She's trying to get kind of romantic and seduce him a little bit. And she goes on to tell him, look, we are together. We're in a light, tight room where you don't have to jump up at dawn and leave. You can stay with me in bed. And he seemed to not even think about that. But he, once she mentioned it, he was like, oh, that's true. And so they start kissing and carrying on. We go into the next scene where Jessica's in the bedroom with her stolen cell phone and calls Hoyt. Her and Hoyt talk about how they can't stop thinking about each other. And she tells him how bored she is in Dallas. And he suggests that they talk to each other on the phone, either watch TV together long distance, or he could tell her about his comic books. So she's all interested and said, whatever you want to do, let's do. So they settle down in each of their respective places and he starts telling her about his comic book, which was really kind of cute.
He's reading it to her.
Yeah, he's telling her and reading her the comic.
You forgot about his mama.
No, I didn't forget. Oh, I just didn't mention. His mama breaks in, but that's kind of secondary because we all know he lives with his mama. The next morning, Sookie goes down to the lobby at the hotel and sees Barry setting out a continental breakfast. And so she starts asking about the breakfast and then says, okay, let's get down to it and talk about us. He asks her to leave him alone and gets upset. She says, well, I've never met another telepath before, have you? He says no, and she says, we have to stick together. We have to help each other. He doesn't want to do anything about it. He says he feels like he's cursed and that he has trouble. He has trouble being himself when he's anywhere but working at around vampires because he can't hear their thoughts. A lady walks into the room, and Barry seems to have a lot of trouble filtering out her thoughts. So he looks like he is having a headache or something. Wow, this lady is coming into the room. Sookie offers to teach him to control it and that her boyfriend has really helped her realize that she can control it and tune people out and that they can also benefit from it and they could help people and earn a little bit of money. Barry says he wants nothing to do with it. He leaves her to go help the lady that came into the room. And Sookie ends up going back up to the room where Bill wakes up. And she ends up telling him at this point about Barry. And about having another telepath and never having met one before. Bill is upset that she's revealed herself as being a telepath to someone else. Because he feels like he can't protect her with the more people that know. He also goes in to talk about how he doesn't trust why Eric is so intense about Godric in this situation. And he's really worried about this whole mess that they've gotten into in Dallas. The next scene, we see Eric, Bill, and Sookie meeting with Godric's clan, Isabel and Stan. Stan believes that the Fellowship of the Sun has Godric and kidnapped him. Isabel isn't sure. And Stan wants to go and totally annihilate and kill everyone in the church. And Isabel's trying to tell him, we can't do that. They're going to know who did it. Bill and Sookie are trying to give ideas and figure out what they can do. And Eric's kind of brooding in the back. He finally can't take it anymore and explodes and said, you guys are idiots. How has Godric gotten to the point where he's surrounded himself by such clowns? And Isabel tells him, we invited you here. You don't even have any control or authority. But Eric still seems to be quite upset by their lack of initiative and trying to find out where Godric is. Sookie suggests that she infiltrate the Fellowship of the Sun Church and try to find out what she can about Godric's whereabouts and if they've taken him. Bill doesn't like this idea at all, but Eric does because at least it's something, you know, moving in the right direction. They kind of argue a little bit, and Bill kind of takes Eric to the side and asks him why he's doing all of this for the Sheriff of Area 9, Godric. Then we get a wonderful scene with Eric flashing back to 1,000 years ago or more to when he was human and back in his nomadic days. He was severely wounded, but he had two companions with him, fellow soldiers that were helping him get back home and refused to leave him to die. Along their way, while they were resting, they hear a noise and something flies by and kills both of his henchmen and walks over to him, which we know is Godric. He kind of leans over Eric and tells him, I've been watching you for a couple of days and I've seen how well you fight, and it's just magnificent. He says, do you think you'd be able to walk with death or be with death and walk through time? And Eric, of course, which we know him, he says, well, what's in it for me? And Godric tells him what you love the most, life. And so he kind of says life, and Godric ends up buying him and changing him. Flashback to the present time, and Eric tells Bill, Godric is my maker. This kind of surprises Bill, and Bill looks like, oh, I get it now. Kind of has a look like that on his face. And that ends that scene. When we next see Sookie and Bill, they're back at Hotel Camilla, and where Sookie finds out that Barry quit and he's no longer working at the hotel. They go back to the bed, up to the room, and Bill's talking about he doesn't like being at the lair. He didn't like how they were arguing and fighting, and he wants Sookie and him just to sneak back to Bon Ton. Sookie tells him that she can't do that. She gave her word, and that they need to finish out what they said they were going to do. They kind of start kissing and having sex, and the next thing we see is a woman with this big flowing gown walking down the hall outside their hotel room. She stops kind of outside their door and hears Sookie saying Bill's name, and then her mouth opens and her teeth extract, and we all know from season one that this is Lorena, Bill's maker. And then that's the end of the episode. Mm-hmm. So, what did you think about this one?
Well, to tell you quite honestly, I thought it was a rather boring episode.
You did?
Yeah. I mean, there were certain answers that we got, like, you know, I had told you last week that Daphne was probably a shapeshifter.
You did. Yeah. You did say that. And I was like, I don't think so.
Yeah. And so I knew that. And I also told you last week that I thought Godric was Eric's maker.
Yep, you did.
And see, I haven't even read none of the books, but to me, it was a little predictable. For me, the best scene was the flashback scene with Eric. So you found out that indeed Godric was his maker. And he was a Viking.
Yeah.
Him and his little Viking guys, you know, had just done battle probably. And so that was really, really interesting. It was interesting, the interaction, I thought, between Godric and Eric before Godric turned him. Because, you know, of course, Eric was delusional a little bit because he had lost a lot of blood. He was getting ready to die.
Right.
And so, you know, the first thing you ask him, are you death? And Godric, yeah. That's exactly what I am, you know.
He says, you're nothing but a boy.
Yeah, he says, well, you're nothing but a boy. So it's going to be really interesting to see who they get into play God. Well,
we know.
Well, that young man. But, you know, to see wherever they have him. I was real, real disappointed in the lack of scenes for Lafayette. But that's because he's my favorite. And, you know, I'm willing to not get upset about his demeanor until maybe the next couple of episodes.
I don't think anyone, even Lafayette, would come back and be their same old self.
That's true. That's why I'm saying that. But the only thing, the only thing I found disturbing for me is I wanted a scene between Tara and Lafayette. That didn't happen.
Right.
Because when Lafayette came back, Tara was not at the at Merlot's, not yet.
No.
She went that evening. So there was no interaction. The only interaction we saw was when Marianne was doing her little whatever she was doing to the people, and everybody was yelling at Tara. So anyway.
You wanted her to acknowledge that he was well.
Yeah, and back and, you know, everything. But you know, Sam, I like that whole scene with Sam and Lafayette because Sam is very intuitive. So he knows something is up.
Yeah. See? But he was upset because it's been he's a boss. You know, he was
Everybody employer that.
First because it's been 2.5 weeks and his employee has been gone.
Right.
And he has heard nothing about it.
But you can tell.
I can understand why he'd be upset. But then he kind of, once he got over that, he was like, okay, what's
happened? Well, he got over it really quickly because
he realized,
as I'm trying to point out, he's very intuitive. He could tell
He's not that intuitive.
Yeah.
But he knew.
Wrong with Lafayette.
From Lafayette's demeanor, though, that he was.
Now, I want to know if Daphne was scraped with the scratches when she was a doe or when she was in human form.
I think human. Because there's big ass scratches on her back. It's on her human back. We didn't see any scratches on her deer back.
Well, but we didn't see the back.
No, but I feel like it's when she was a human.
Okay, and I can't feel
like she's under the influence of something.
I don't
know. How else would she survive?
I don't know.
And she came at the opportune time. I don't know. It's just strange still.
Yeah, it's still strange. But
it's strange still.
I don't know. I was a little bored, and I'm really, really bored with the Marianne storyline. I don't like the fact that she's living there in Sookie's house. I don't believe for a moment that Tara, knowing how Sookie feels about her house, her grand's things, I don't think for a moment that Tara would say, yeah, y'all can live here. I just don't believe it. I think it's out of character for what we have been led to believe is her character up until this time.
I mean, it makes sense based on the fact that...
It makes sense to me.
It does. And she says she's going to contact Sookie, so it's not like she's not going to tell her. It kind of makes sense because they guilted her into it, basically. Marianne knows her background and knows that she has had no family. Her mother abused her all her life. And the only person that she had as a family was Sookie and Grant and Jason. That was it. So she, like Egg said in the scene I didn't talk about, you don't even know, your life has been so effed up. You don't even know what a family is like or what it's like. So they basically guilted her into it. This is out of character for you, her, yes. Because normally she's not feeling bad. She's usually strong enough to kind of put on that. That's what that facade is, that angry, cussing facade. She's usually got that up in the front. And now they've kind of broke that down and guilted her into
Well, for into me, doing it. Because she certainly has more love for Sookie than Marianne. And that's what that whole statement was, I love you most, you know, that was some little foreshadowing there. For me, I don't believe that she would do that, knowing how Sookie feels about that house and her grandma's stuff.
I don't think so. She knows Sookie is hospitable, because she's, she knows that.
Well, for me, it was out of character.
I mean, they have never really sat and had a conversation that they've shown about Marianne. So she might not... Sookie, I think, is going to be upset because it's Marianne.
I think so.
I don't think if it was anyone else that she would be. I think she would have said, look, if they needed
but
help.
But it's more than Marianne. It's Carl and
right.
It's all three of the mugs up in there.
Sookie's going to be upset, but right now Tara isn't thinking about that.
That's true.
Sookie's not there, and she's not going to be there for a while. And Tara's thinking about, this woman helped me when I was down. Everybody is against me right now.
Well,
excuse me.
For me, and I don't like the storyline.
Well, I don't like that either.
I hope it goes
I don't like that
away.
Part either. I don't like Marianne being there, because that means Tara's getting more involved with whatever Marianne's
and
doing.
And they need to go on and point out what is Marianne. Don't be like lost and string everybody along all the way to the end of the season. No.
Well, first of all,
it's gonna get boring.
We have half the season that Lost has.
That's true.
So even if they do string it out, it's still gonna be revealed more quickly than anything on Lost. But I mean, they're not gonna tell us everything right now. They're gonna try to get us along. Well, what did you think about the Jason storyline? I kind of liked how they were showing his leadership, and they're trying to kind of get us into that mindset that they're going to try to groom him as a leader that has people that he, what do you call it?
Well, you know, from the moment that they invited him, they knew what they were going to do. Because of the background that Jason has, meaning that he was accused of all those murders before they found out it was Renee.
Right.
Then and now Steve Newland knows that Jason has actually seen a vampire staked right in front of his eyes and all that kind of stuff. They see that he's going to be a prime person who can go out there and kill up some vampires, because what they want is, I'm sure they're going to target who they believe actually killed their parents. Or Steve Newland's parents. You know, whichever nest of vampires.
I don't think they're going to even... I don't think they have any idea how to find that out. They're just going to find... I think they're just going to find any random vampire that they can get if they don't already have Godric.
I think you're going to be surprised. I think they probably have more information along those lines. But, be that as it may, I thought the scenes with Jason and Al, you know, they're going through the drills and the obstacle courses and all that kind of stuff. I mean, you know, it was okay. The best scenes was with him and Sarah Newland in the bathroom. That was funny. That was so funny to me.
Well,
Jason just looked so scared.
He did look scared.
You know, I mean, that's a good act, though.
Yeah.
That's a good act.
And I did like the scene with Sarah and Steve where we see that she's feeling like he's keeping stuff from her.
Yes.
And that she's not agreeing with where he wants to go with the church.
She's not agreeing with what he's planning to do.
Right.
And I'm sure that those papers that he gave Gabe, it had something to do with, we're going to go snatch some more folk and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or that we tried to snatch Sookie, which they don't know who she is yet. But
they know. Yeah, well.
No, they were trying to snatch the human with the Compton Party.
They don't
know
her
who.
Name.
Right,
exactly.
They didn't know who it was.
Exactly.
Or that it was a woman.
Exactly.
So, it might have been that. They're trying to kidnap the human.
It could be.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, you know.
Or it could have been papers talking about, we got Godric, and we're going to plan whatever they're going to plan to do with him.
That's true. But I don't know. I mean, I like the episode because I really like True Blood. But... you know, to be honest, by the time I finished all the way to the end, I was a little disappointed. It just wasn't as exciting as I thought maybe it was going to be. You know what I mean? But I still liked it, though.
I really liked it.
But I really liked all the scenes with Stookie and Bill.
Yeah.
In Dallas, where we could see that and how she tried to, you know, get Barry to open up to her and stuff. And all of that. I really like that.
I thought it was interesting because we get a different perspective now when she was asking Barry, can they glamour you? And he says no, but he pretends like they do.
Yes.
So that they don't know that they can't.
Yes.
Which is totally different than Sookie saying, whatever you're doing ain't working, and laughing like she did.
Exactly.
And then her asking if he can read their thoughts, and he says no, which she can't either.
Mm-hmm.
But I like that different perspective that Barry brought to how he handles it.
Mm-hmm. I thought it was interesting, too, that she seemed surprised that he pretended to be glamoured where in her situation, Bill and the other vampires know they can't glamour her.
See? Bill's the only one who tried.
Well, but Eric knows that she can't be glamoured.
Yeah, but Bill's the only one who tried to do it. So, only because she told him to try.
Right. So, you know, so, I thought that was interesting, too.
Yeah. And then the scene with Jessica and Hoyt was sweet.
That was so sweet. I really like her.
Yeah.
I really like her.
And when she ran off saying about the eating disorder.
You're going to be sorry if I get when I get an eating disorder.
It was so cute.
Oh, that's
so funny.
That is funny. I mean, you know, she's a vampire. But I really like the scene between her and Hoyt. I thought that was really cute. I just feel so sorry for Hoyt. His mama interrupting him. He's a grown man. I realize he is living in her house, but come on now.
Yeah.
He's a grown man, and just because his telephone rings when she thinks it's late at night, she gonna come in there. Ooh, is that a girl calling you? No decent girl is gonna be calling this time. Oh, please, woman, she need to go to bed. You know, oh, man. But that was funny, though.
That was good.
That was good, yeah. Because he does live at home with his mother, so,
yep.
You know.
And now that we know that Barry quit the hotel...
Yeah, what does that portend, I wonder?
Well, it means that he just was too scared to stay there since she's there.
But I wonder if we'll see Barry again.
Oh, yeah, we will.
I hope so.
We will.
I don't like Barry.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, so what'd you think?
I like the episode. I like it. I mean, I don't always have to have action. And see, it just didn't have a lot of action. But I like the dialogue they had because it was explaining things. I liked all the information we found out about Barry and Sookie and how he's been handling his ability or curse, as he calls it.
Uh-huh.
Excuse me. And I really liked that we got the background of Eric.
Yes, that was good.
And saw how he got made. And I liked how he was so upset about the clan of Godric. Mm-hmm. Arguing back and forth.
And actually, this is, I'm thinking now, this is, of all the episodes where they've like, you know, shown Eric a lot, other than when he tore up that redneck for putting that cross on him, but this is the most emotion he's ever shown, especially around mm-hmm. Bill. Because he was very angry. And even when he was telling Bill the story, and then it flashed back to him, and he says, Godric is my maker. But did you see the look on his face?
Yeah, he looked so sad.
He looked so sad and mm-hmm. hurt. And I'm thinking, dang.
Yeah.
That was good acting, though. That was very good. So I felt kind of sorry for him.
But did you notice how, Isabel, and Stan kind of didn't really address the fact that there's a traitor.
Right.
Only they knew that
we
Will
know it's
going to
be Stan.
Well, maybe that's the too obvious choice, you know?
It's going to be somebody in Stan's group.
It'll be somebody.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, it was interesting to see how they had opposing views in the same,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Well, what was interesting to me is I was thinking that while they were standing there arguing, and I thought, okay, so if there's a traitor in one of their groups, and they're standing there listening to Sookie say, I'll just infiltrate the church, find out where they got him and stuff. And I'm thinking, okay, so they're going to ambush her at the church then.
Could be.
You know, because they already got a traitor, so them two know what Sookie's going to do.
Well.
See. That's going to be ugly.
It is.
But, you know, it was a good episode.
We're not even touching on...
But
the real good part of the episode, Lorena is back.
Yeah, that was like, 30 seconds at the end.
Right.
So, wow, what can we say? But yeah, Bill's maker
is
back.
Why is she back?
Yeah, why is she back?
When we get into the scenes from next week, so
okay.
If you don't want to hear about the scenes from next week.
Forward
about 5 or 10 minutes. We always say 5 minutes, but it's always more than 5 minutes.
Okay.
Spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert.
So, in our scenes for next week, we see Lorena asking Eric why she's there. And Eric says, we both want the same things. And then she tells him that he's a terrible liar.
Uh-huh.
So, Eric has apparently summoned her. to come there.
That's what I'm thinking.
What do they both want? Well, we know late. Well, we know that she wants Bill. So then later they or like another scene in the previews.
This is after Sookie goes on off to the church because
well we don't know when it is in the episode. It's just in the previews for next week.
That's true.
And then we see Lorena laying on top of Bill, telling him that Bill's his blood is her blood, and that he can never overpower her. So then she's trying to kiss him, and his hands are like. He's trying to resist, but he can't. He's trying to push her off, but he can't get his hands to move up because he can't do anything against his maker.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to pose a big-ass problem. Excuse me.
Yeah.
A big-ass problem.
A big problem.
Because first of all, he don't want Lorena's ass. And that's what... Remember last week we were talking about how Eric... You were saying how you think Godrick is Eric's maker, and that's why he's so concerned about him. But I think if Lorena was missing, I don't think Bill would be concerned at all.
But that's because Bill has mainstreamed more.
Bill doesn't like his maker.
Exactly.
He doesn't like her
at all. See, Eric obviously likes his maker.
Right. So I don't think if the thing was reversed, that Bill would go through all this.
Well, we don't know, but we're going to find out because we're going to be able to tell that from his interaction with her.
Right.
See.
So that's a problem. And then when Sookie
and then
finds,
I want to find out, then where's she been all this time then?
Well, roaming the earth? Who knows?
Yeah, well, and like Godrick was the king of the Texas area.
Sheriff.
And, or sheriff of Area 9, and Eric is the sheriff of Area, what, 5?
6.
So, 6, so therefore.
Maybe she's a sheriff somewhere else.
Yeah, maybe she's some hierarchy thing too. So.
Whatever, but she's been summoned there by Eric.
Yeah, I think that's... obvious, yeah. And I think the reason is because Eric wants Sookie.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
Or maybe he feels like she could help with getting Godrick back. So he's pulling out all the stops or something.
Now that could be too. But then we also see in the previews that Sookie is with some human man and they're pretending to be a couple going into the Fellowship of the Sun Church and they're being welcomed into the church.
By Sarah Newland.
Right, by Sarah Newland.
So we know Jason's there somewhere.
Yep.
Around somewhere.
So that's going to be...
He's at the camp, this is the church, so... I'm sure soon they're going to bring Jason from the camp to the church.
To the church. Mm-hmm. And so, therefore, you know, it's going to be... Or maybe she hears Sarah Newland's thoughts and Sarah's thinking about Jason.
Maybe.
See? And then
but
Sookie...
We did see a scene where Sarah, is telling Jason that she's supposed to be with him. He says, but you're married. And she says, but I'm not married in my heart. And it looks like they're in a church. Didn't it look like the background?
Yeah, that did kind
of
look like
of a church. So maybe Jason is already at the church.
Well, anyway, we know Jason's going to be seeing Sookie and Sookie's going to be seeing Jason at some point.
Eventually, I'm sure.
Yeah, at some point. We don't know if it's going to be next week or 3 weeks or whatever, but yeah.
And that's going to pose a problem because he's now all into this vampires or evil shit. And you know, so what's he going to do? Is he going to rat out his sister? Is he going to...
Well, he's going to say, Sookie, what you doing here?
Yeah.
And they're going to say, I thought your name was Mary Sue or whatever she says her name is. You know? So that's going to be potentially nasty.
And then we also see a scene from next week. Pam going to Merlot's and talking to Lafayette. And it's so funny. When she says Lafayette's name, he jumps and grabs onto the rack behind him.
I know. Poor Lafayette.
Looking over his shoulder, all scared.
Poor Lafayette.
And she's all dressed up and saying that Eric sent her and that he's back in business and she's got a bottle of V in her hand.
Yeah, but I wonder whose blood is it?
Could be any of their blood.
Yeah.
But why do they want him back in business?
As you pointed out, I think they want him back in that drug business so he can do some drug deals with whoever it was in Dallas that he was doing some deals with so they can kind of, you know, flush out.
Maybe find out if that's...
Because they think maybe a motive is, whether the church took Godrick or not, somebody in that church is making some money off his blood. See?
Church? How do we know it's a someone in Dallas.
They think the Fellowship of the Sun Church members snatched Godrick.
Right, but that doesn't have anything to do with the V.
Well, it might, because Eric, I think in the back of his mind, when he had Lafayette still in the basement at the club,
Fantasia.
I couldn't remember it for a minute. And he was talking about how expensive Godric's blood would be because it's a 2,000-year-old.
Powerful.
Well, also expensive.
But that doesn't have mean that someone from the church is doing the drugs or selling the V.
That's true.
I wouldn't have even correlated that.
Oh, I did immediately because it's just like in any times of war, you got these thugs over here that go and run some drugs. You know, these people who are like into running drugs and stuff, but you go and hire them to be the actual people to go and either snatch someone or kill someone or whatever. But you're over here in the church. You are actually the one paying for it. Oh, yeah. I thought about that.
I don't know about that one. I don't know about that theory. We'll have to see.
Yeah, we'll have to see.
I mean,
but that's the first thing I thought. I thought, oh, uh-huh, okay. That's probably why they want him to go back into business. But yeah, poor Lafayette, though.
Yeah, he was. That was funny. I had to watch that twice.
But I'm glad, or at least
Lafayette.
I'm hopeful that they'll show more of Pam. I like her.
I like Pam too.
I like that character, but I like the actress playing that part. I think she's really good, and I hope she's a little more prominent in there.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
Well, I think that does it for today, don't you think?
I think that's it.
Okay. Well, if y'all have any opinions you'd like to share or theories about what's going on, please send us an email at sisterspeak@gmail.com, or you can put a comment on our website at sistersinreview.com, or you can send us a voicemail at 972-692-7341. For this week, that's it. I'm Sister K.
And I'm Sister J.
See you next week.